Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
All right, Brad, I guess this week there was some news about some restaurants in Walt Disney World that wouldn't be accepting the 2020 dining plan. I mean, obviously, for a long time, there have been restaurants that haven't accepted the dining plan, and I don't really care that much about the particular restaurants that aren't accepting the dining plan. Like, that's not very interesting to me. What is interesting to me is that I did not know that there were so many restaurants on Disney property that are not owned by Disney. I thought that, like, Disney Springs obviously contains mostly restaurants that aren't owned by Disney. Art Smith's Homecoming, Morimoto obviously is another restaurant group. But things like Via Napoli and Epcot, I had no idea that that restaurant just seems like a Disney, you know, owned restaurant to me. I didn't realize that in the parks and resorts there were restaurants not owned by Disney.
Yeah, so Disney Tourist Blog made this post. Apparently they were getting a lot of reports from people trying to, be you know, help them out and say, hey, I noticed if you look online and you go to make a reservation for, or look at the menu for this restaurant, it says Disney dining plan is not accepted here. And that's, you know, they basically jumped into, hey, this is what happens because a third party restaurant doesn't inherently have to take Disney dining plan even if they're on property,
which that's surprising to me, that Disney will allow them to be on property and not accept the dining plan.
It is, but
doesn't that seem like a thing that Disney would just like require you to do?
It, yes and no. So I do see your point, but at the same time, then you get into weird things about, like, does every, you know, do all the Disney Springs restaurants become what, signature? Like, you're not gonna, are you gonna say Morimoto is not signature dining, or, you know, Homecoming, if you say that it's not signature dining, does Art Smith get upset? Or, you know, if Chicken Guy isn't a signature dining, is Guy Fieri going to be upset that his quick service chicken tenders aren't being handled with the, you know, like they're saying he's lesser? So I don't know. There's some weirdness.
I didn't think about that with hurt feelings.
Well, so, and maybe not even so much hurt feelings as I think there's a give and take here, right? Like, there's no doubt that Disney could say whatever they wanted, you know, could put whatever line in the sand they wanted, and somebody would take them up on the offer of, but you get to have a restaurant in Walt Disney World, right? But they don't just want anybody to have a restaurant in Walt Disney World. And I think that there has to be a bit of give and take to get certain, you know, quality places to, you know, number one, to get certain chefs to lend their name to places, or open, you know, additional restaurants that they own at Disney. And then there's also, you know, even outside of that, the restaurants that maybe aren't chef driven. So, for example, Via Napoli, but to get them handled by a good group or whatever, there has to be, you know, a little bit on both sides of that. So I think that's where a lot of it comes in. So I'm not too surprised that there are going to be places where you're not going to be able to use your Disney dining plan. I guess for me, I am like, that part of it really wasn't news to me. I thought it was worth talking about because I genuinely think that, like you, there are a lot of people who don't recognize that there are non-Disney restaurants on property. For me, I 100% realize it, but that's because I deal with allergy dining. And if you deal with allergy dining, you know the difference between, and now don't get me wrong, like Via Napoli is amazing when it comes to allergy dining. In fact, you know, so when we go out to eat at Disney, we have three allergens that we have to worry about. We have to worry about corn and corn derivative products, which is basically everything under the sun.
Yeah, eggs, welcome to America, buddy.
Yeah, eggs and peanuts, which eggs and peanuts are conveniently listed on everything. Corn is not, you know, like. Your citric acid can be derived from corn. Your distilled vinegar can be derived from corn. Your modified food starch may or may not, like that. I can go on forever But there are a lot of things that have to be taken into account when dealing with corn. And some restaurants, because of that, become a lot more limited. For example, Yak and Yeti in Animal Kingdom. We've done that one time, and we probably won't go back. Not because it wasn't good, but because it was very cumbersome to work around our, you know, the allergens that were there. And that's not a Disney restaurant. That's a Dard.
Why more than anywhere else?
Why was it harder?
Yeah, why because was it more cumbersome?
Because of the way that Darden handles that, like their chefs don't. And I will say that overall, Disney is making a move towards having less chefs come out, which I get. Like, the chefs need to be back there actually taking care of making sure the kitchen is running and stuff like that. But it was a lot harder there, and it felt like maybe they were a little bit less prepared, especially for the corn out, which is usually the one that throws people off. Like, most of the restaurants nowadays have a separate menu that they can bring you that says, here are allergy options. Mm-hmm. If you have this allergy, you should pick, you know, like, this thing is safe for this, and this allergy. This thing, none of those have corn. And again, I totally get why it is that way. But like, if you have egg or any of the major eight, they can just bring you a menu and say, here are the things that you can have. They're gonna take your allergy down, and then they're gonna, you know, a lot of times even if a chef doesn't come out, a manager will, and they will mark your allergy, and they will confirm your allergy when they bring the food out to you. All sorts of things to make you feel comfortable. But corn is still not that case. But when we ate at Yak and Yeti, like, corn pretty much just stumped them. And it's not fun. Like, that is one of the things that we really enjoy about Disney is, you know, how simple it is to handle those allergies. And so when you have something that doesn't let you do that, it becomes very difficult.
Mm.
And like I said, because of that, we are more aware of those restaurants that aren't Disney owned, because Disney, but then again, I don't want to say that, you know, like Homecoming, when we went and ate there, they were super helpful about getting us stuff, you know, that would meet all of our allergy requirements. Via Napoli, like, they showed up and the waiter took note of our allergens, and he's like, hold on just a minute. And within a few, you know, like less, probably less than a minute later, he came back and he grabbed our silverware, and he's like, the stuff that we use to polish the silverware has a corn product in it. So I'm going to pull all the silverware from the table, and I'm going to go get you guys some silverware that we cleaned separately for you that didn't get the polishing stuff on it that has a corn product in it. So, like, it is not to say that non-Disney restaurants are not good at this, but,
and like, he like just realized that off the dome.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he's probably had to deal with corn allergies before, which is extremely helpful because, you know, you can, depending on the type of, different people are different levels of susceptible, but Nancy is susceptible enough that, you know, if it's a pretty corny product, contact can, you know, start to, like, can turn her skin red and things like that. So it was super nice that we didn't, you know, have to deal with anything like that. But yeah, so there are definitely those restaurants that are inside the parks that are third party. They aren't being run by Disney. As a matter of fact, Space 220 is not going to be a Disney restaurant.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's run by the Patina Group, if I recall correctly. And so, you know, that's a brand new restaurant that's going in. It's not even going in World Showcase, but is not actually going to be operated by Disney. So it even makes me wonder if they're not going to move more toward this type of dining in the future.
I guess it takes some of the responsibility and pressure off of them.
Yeah, and they get to put it on somebody else, and somebody else who's probably paying them for the opportunity. Yes. to get to run this place.
That's wild, man. Yeah, I never would have assumed that was even a thing, like, even once. Nevertheless, like, even with new stuff. But yeah, I can see why that would be advantageous to Disney to say, yeah, let's just get some of this the dirty work, you know, the stuff that's not the fun stuff. Get it off of our plate.
But by the way, if you're at all concerned about Patina Group, that would also be the people who run Via Napoli, also run Toto Italia, Enzo's, Maria and Enzo's, Pizza Point, Morimoto, and the Edison. All of those are Patina Group. So
the Edison is not a Disney. Wow.
Yeah. See, no, that Edison, place, Edison isn't even the first one.
That place seems like the, you know, a kind of for fun place that Disney would do.
Nope. Not, like I said, not even is it not a Disney thing. It is not even the first of its kind. It is a recreation of something that they were already doing somewhere else. Yeah. Not everything that you think is Disney is Disney.
So Disney has, you know, since the Skyliner came out, at the Disney resorts where the Skyliner stops, Pop, Riviera,
Caribbean Beach.
Yeah, Caribbean Beach. Those all, you know, have bus transportation and Skyliner transportation. And up until now, I believe the buses ran just as they, you know, have all along. But starting January 5th, which is, you know, 4 days ago as we record this, the buses at those resorts leave for Hollywood Studios and Epcot once per hour. And you are directed to use the Skyliner instead, which I'm okay. Like, I think that's really smart. I think the Skyliner is great, and it's a much more, definitely a much more efficient thing for Disney. There's a lot of costs that go into driving a vehicle, and the Skyliners are basically free. The one, there's not that many moving parts. Most of the stuff that can break is on the infrastructure side of it, but like, they're basically free to operate. You know, you have to obviously keep them up, but I just like going down to once an hour. Like, I guess I thought eventually the Skyliners might become almost the sole way to get from Pop to Epcot, but man, I didn't think it was going to be this quick. You know, Disney is very confident in the Skyliners and their reliability.
So I don't. And like, there have been people who have been, you know, this is no big deal. There have been people who said the sky is falling. this is a horrible change. I feel like I definitely fall more on the this is no big deal.
Yeah, group of people. I would never take a bus from Pop to Epcot when I could just take a Skyliner.
Right. And so this is for a few reasons. Now, first of all, I will say the Skyliner is definitely not free to run, but it's a, like, it's going to be running all day, whether there's a lot of people using it or not. Right now, right, when more people are at the buses, you have to run more buses, and that definitely costs you more money than less buses. The Skyliner is a fixed cost, like, yes, whether there are five people get on that or 500. Now, okay, admittedly, there's probably
I would say comparatively speaking, it is comparatively basically free. Because the buses are a very large cost center.
Yeah, and as you put more people on the Skyliner, it's probably more wear and tear. So there probably are some costs involved with people being on it. But by and large, those cars are going, or those gondolas are going back and forth, whether there is somebody on them or not. So better to go ahead and put somebody on them and take advantage of that to lighten the load on the buses. That is not so much the reason I say it's no big deal, because remember, I've seen the Skyliner at its not so best. And
you were on property during the horrible 3 hour breakdown.
And that is, but the reason why I say it's no big deal in spite of that is because they're not. Now, when Disney says we are getting rid of all bus stops and we are moving to a Skyliner only, you know, like, let's say, for example, and I do not foresee this happening, but let's say they said we are going to get rid of all bus stops at the Pop Century and Art of Animation. We're going to build a huge bus area at Caribbean Beach, and everyone will travel from Art of Animation and Pop Century to there, and then we'll get on buses you know, if they are going to not Epcot or Hollywood Studios. That I would have a pretty big issue with. And the reason that I would have an issue there, but I don't with them saying they're going to move these buses to once an hour, is because if the Skyliner has an issue, it is nothing for Disney to say, guess what? Now those buses are running every 20 minutes. Like, there is no switch to be flipped. There is literally, you know, just tell the computer to start sending more buses that way and maybe call a couple of bus drivers and say, hey, we need you to go ahead and come in. Like, that's all that it takes to ramp up the bus availability. So even though they're saying that there's going to be less buses, if they ever need more buses, there will be buses there. And to my understanding, like, there is no limitation where, you know, somebody who could ride a bus can't ride the Skyliner, other than you have a fear of heights, which does mean it's going to kind of suck. And you know what? If I had a, like, I have a fear of heights. I did get a little oogie one time riding the Skyliner. But if I had a legitimate, like, I can't handle the Skyliner fear of heights, I probably, you know, that might make me second guess booking Pop Century, Art of Animation, or Caribbean Beach.
Sure. Yeah, that's your other option, is don't stay at one of those resorts.
Right. But there are also a lot of other options available. And, you know, this is the same issue as, you know, if you stay on somewhere that's on the monorail line, right? Like, I'm pretty sure the buses are offset for those as well, going to Magic Kingdom, or even, I don't know about Epcot. Epcot, they may keep the same. I haven't researched that, so... Yeah,
Claire was asking me, we were talking about that the other day, is can't, because I know, like, Contemporary, you can walk to Magic Kingdom pretty easily.
Yeah, like, Contemporary having any buses to Magic Kingdom seems kind of wild to me. I don't know if they do or not, but I couldn't hold anything against them if they did.
You know, you said, talking about taking a Skyliner to Caribbean Beach and then taking a bus from there, if they had a more convenient bus stop, I don't know if I would mind that, because Claire, that's how Claire and I got to Springs when we went and ate at Homecoming. We took the Skyliner to Caribbean Beach and then walked over to a bus stop and went to Springs. And then that's how we came back to Caribbean Beach on the bus from Springs, and then got on a Skyliner to Hollywood Studios. And it really wasn't that bad. If the only issue was the bus stop's kind of far away. They have an internal bus stop right by the Skyliner station. And if they just change that into a regular bus stop, I don't know that I would really have an issue with that.
So the only reason that I would have an issue is because if something happens to the Skyliner and there aren't bus stops at Hollywood or at Pop Century and Art of Animation, like, I do see how that could legitimately create some headaches for people, right? Because there were, you know, if the Skyliner has an issue, the Skyliner can be down for a day and a half. That's a nice chunk of somebody's Disney vacation. And then in that case, yes, the sky is falling a little bit, you know, like, it's suddenly taking us three times as long to get to a park and get back. Like, that's not a great experience. But as long as the bus stops are there and they can always put buses back there when they need to, yeah, I don't really have any major problem with moving to the, in spite of seeing the Skyliner the way that I saw it. And I feel like it's gotten better since then.
No, it definitely has gotten better since then. Yeah, and that would have to be some kind of super bus stop, I guess, at Caribbean Beach, because you'd have a lot of people trying to get to Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that would suddenly be three resorts worth of... And that would also put a lot more traffic onto the Skyliner, because all of a sudden, everybody who wanted to go anywhere would have to get on the Skyliner from two resorts. I wonder, I'm not saying that Disney would never do that, but if they did, I would almost feel like they'd have to add a second line, or more gondolas or something. I don't know,
man. The Skyliner eats people.
It does, but what happens when Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios all have the same opening time? So people who want to hit those that open are all getting on the Skyliner to then go to Caribbean Beach, plus all the people from Caribbean Beach, and then you've got three, like, that's a lot of people, yeah, on the Skyliner going to Caribbean Beach, and then that's a lot of people at the bus stop. So yeah, it'd have to be a super duper bus stop at Caribbean Beach to handle that. But
yeah,
I don't know. Disney may want to move to that, or heck, just build more Skyliners to everything, then you won't have to deal with it.
Definitely do that. Have you, speaking of super buses, have you ridden on the double buses? Did you ever get to ride one of those?
Are you talking about the ones that have the like connector in the middle?
Yeah, the pivoting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've ridden on the pivoting thing. That's a little wild when you're riding on the bus.
I've never, so they had those in Houston, and I, like, my dad and I every year would go to the Shell Houston Open golf tournament, and you had to park in a satellite lot and then get bused over to the actual golf tournament. And so I'd ridden on them before, but they always had, like, you weren't allowed to stand in the accordion part. The Disney ones have handles for you to stand in the accordion part, and they have, like, a pivoting circular thing that moves around, and it moves unnaturally.
Mm-hmm. It's very unsettling when you have to ride on it, especially if you're riding on it holding on to the handle with one hand and holding your child with your other hand.
Yeah,
that's fun, buddy. Let me just tell you about that.
But I we didn't talk about that when I got back, but this was the first trip where, like, the buses from Pop to Magic Kingdom were almost all those double buses.
Hey, Jeremy, how many times have you done park open at Magic Kingdom prior to this last trip?
None.
That's why you haven't seen the double buses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they use them much more for park open and park close than any other time, because the rest of the time they don't need that much space, and I'm sure those cost more to use. But anyway, I don't see an issue with this, and in fact, like, kind of like you said, this was entirely expected to me. Disney doesn't just want this to be a, like, if they had spent all this money building the Skyliner strictly as a, this is something cool to ride, that would seem kind of wasteful. But to build this and say, this is a legitimate transportation option, that makes it worthwhile. And I think that's totally why it was built. And the only way it becomes a legitimate transportation option is if you stop running the buses. And the other side of this that most people, I think, that are, you know, Sky is Falling are failing to take into account is, I don't think Disney stops running those buses if they don't see that people aren't using them.
Yeah, no, right. And I'm all for any moves that Disney can make that show me that the Skyliner is not going to become what the monorail has become, which is an attraction. Because I don't think 90% of the people who visit Walt Disney World use the monorail as a functional, like, actual transportation method.
I think it's higher than you think. I think you don't think that because you don't drive a car, so you don't arrive at the Magic Kingdom at the TTC, and you don't stay on a monorail loop resort. I think if you did either of those things, the monorail would be a more legitimate transportation means to you. I could be totally wrong about that. But again, like, based on the amount of traffic I've seen coming out of the monorail at park open and the amount of traffic I've seen get on it at park close, I think it's a legitimate means of transportation for a lot of people.
And maybe I think that just because that's the limit of what it can do. The monorail doesn't do much. It's only for people who, like you said, are staying at a monorail loop resort or who are, you know, parking at the TTC and either going to the Magic Kingdom or to Epcot. Because other than that, it's not that functional. You don't really get to go from place. I don't know. The Skyliner is like, I can get from my hotel to a park. And the monorail, yeah, if you're staying in one of three resorts, you can do that. But it's, I don't know. I guess you have to transfer the Skyliner too. I don't know. I guess I'm being too harsh on the monorail.
If you're staying at Coronado Springs, how is the Skyliner a legitimate means of transportation? How is it not just something cool to go ride the same way the monorail is?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess I'm just way more likely to use the Skyliner because I can't afford to stay at a...
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is you've used the Skyliner as a legitimate means of transportation, therefore it is legitimate. I think once you've used the monorail as a legitimate means of transportation, it'll be legitimate too. So saving up your pennies, buddy.
The monorail as a legitimate method of transportation just feels unattainable to me. Because when would I ever be able to stay at the Poly? Like, I can't. I don't think I ever will. And I can afford to stay at Pop, no problem. But I don't know that I'll ever be able to stay at the Poly. And so I guess that feels unattainable in a way that the Skyliner feels like no big deal. So
I agree. Definitely agreed on that.
But I'm still a big fan of Disney, like just saying like this is important and I like it.
And the Skyliner is a legitimate thing, not just something pretty.
Yep. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.